forklifts whizzing by, and the audible hum of lights greet you as you enter the Daisy Factory in Rogers. Joe Murfin, Vice President of Marketing for the Outdoor Products Company, leads the way through the large open warehouse. After passing through the entrance, the customer service department is located immediately to your right.
These are the people, and this is the area that fulfill individual orders from people who call into Daisy wanting to buy something direct from the company. We really don't encourage that. Our model of operation is to send consumers to retail stores and online retail stores to purchase our product. We don't really want to sell to them directly.
Yellow lines outline the walkways that wind around large shelves filled with boxed merchandise. As we stroll down an aisle, we step off the path to allow a forklift to pass by.
And as the forklifts come by, we step out of the way because it's a little easier for us to see them than it is for them to see us. And that's why they also honk at every intersection.
Leading the way, Murfin motions across the room and points out a loading dock as well as the shipping and quality departments.
Quality not only checks incoming parts to make sure that they meet specifications, they'll pull a certain percentage of every part based on how critical it is to the performance of the final product, and they'll inspect that part. They'll have the right to reject it if it doesn't meet their specifications of quality. The other function that they perform is a life test and functionally test as part of meeting the ASTM standards for air guns, a certain percentage of air guns that come off the line. And there have been times when they'll even do like 100% inspection of a gun just to test it. And in functionality tests, they'll put up to 10,000 shots through a gun to make sure that it will endure. And they call that a lifetime test.
Murfin explains that business is seasonal. The fall, which also happens to be hunting season, tends to be a good time for the company. He says the workforce can fluctuate between 50 and 100 employees. It may even reach 120 employees at its peak. As we pass by rows of boxes stacked high upon their metal shelves, some of those employees come into view. In what he calls a sub-assembly line, men and women sitting at their individual workstations are piecing guns together.
Okay, so he picks up a barrel assembly and he lays it in that cradle. He inserts the trigger assembly. That's the one assembled part of small parts that includes the trigger, the sear, and the safety mechanism. He puts the saddle ring on. Now he's fitting the stock to the gun. The form that he put the gun in has places for all of the nuts and all the bolts to fit. So when he's screwing down a bolt from the top, it's catching a nut that he's already put in that form below. The bolts are both tapped into the metal and caught by the nuts on the other side. He just test fired the gun to see if it would produce air, which it did. He's putting the forearm on it, which is held on by one screw, and then the forearm band, which is just pressed on, and he'll use this lever in a minute to complete the pressing on. He's putting a long screw down through the receiver into the trigger stock. He's now adding the leather thong, which everybody remembers, what they call a saddle thong. And then that orange tag essentially tells people to make sure that they cock the gun until they hear seven clicks. And if they don't hear seven clicks, it's not fully cocked. He's using an orange zip tie, and that orange zip tie is keyed to his workstation. I believe you'll find that different people will have a different color. Theoretically, they do. They may be using them. They may be building one order here today. Believe it or not, he's not on any kind of quota. He's not paid per gun or anything like that. He just wants to do a good job, and he loves to build, and he wants to build as many guns as he can.
For ease, some of the smaller parts of guns are pre-assembled into one unit, but other than that, each person sitting at a station builds a gun by hand from start to finish.
And I think it's important because this gun, you know, has to function when he's done with it at a certain point. He cocks it and fires it, and he knows if that gun's producing enough pressure.
Murfin explains there are basically two production lines, one that produces spring-action guns like the Red Ryder, and another line that makes all the high-powered guns. Once the guns are completed, they're placed on a slow-moving conveyor belt, which transports them to an area where they're packaged. Today, a young man places the completed gun and an operations manual into a box, but he must first shape the flattened piece of cardboard into a long, rectangle-shaped box, which he does with incredible speed.
The form that he's putting the cardboard package in helps him a lot, but I'll still tell you that's pretty tricky to get that box to fold. He makes it look very easy, but it's not.
Before sending the box down the line, his final task is to staple the package. The entire process only takes him about 11 seconds per box. Finally, the guns are placed in a carton that's put on a pallet and shrink-wrapped for shipment. Perhaps the Red Ryder BB gun is the most famous of Daisy's products, but the company also creates guns for competition that are used by organizations like 4-H and the American Legion.
In this area, we build all of our match competition guns, and the only difference between a match competition gun and a gun that we build for the consumer market that you can buy in the store is that these guns are highly accurate. They're made for competition. They all have very finely rifled barrels. And each gun that is built at one of these workstations doesn't leave the factory until it comes over to this chronograph tube where it's shot for both accuracy and velocity. So in this tube, though, we'll measure at 10 meters, which is a typical firing length for a competition gun. They'll measure the muzzle velocity at the muzzle of the gun, and then they'll measure the accuracy of the gun, and they'll adjust the sights until they can get a good group. Once they've done that, they'll staple the printout from the chronograph that shows the average foot per second velocity. They'll staple that to the target, which shows the grouping of the shots that they've shot, and they'll put that in the box to ship it with the gun. So these guns get a little more scrutiny, a little more hands-on personal attention and assembly, but they command a higher price, and people that buy them depend on them because they want to win an award. They want to win a medal.
Of course, what use would a gun be without some ammunition? One of the smaller pieces of ammo is the BB.
Everybody wants to know how BBs are made. A BB actually starts off as a piece of wire, and then it's chopped to a length, and it's headed, which means it's compressed from the two ends, and that creates an almost perfect sphere, but it'll have a little rough ring right around the middle of the circumference. That then gets polished, and what they call headed, run through a heading machine, it gets polished, and after polished, then it's a BB. If it were to be continually polished and very finely polished to within a 1/1000th of an inch specification, it could be considered a ball bearing. So a lot of people jump to the conclusion that BB stands for ball bearing. Unfortunately, that's not quite true. BBs can be ball bearings if they're made to that very stringent specification, but BB is actually a size. It's a size of shot. There's size A, B, C, D shot, there's AA, B, B, C, and BB is .177 caliber, and that's what BBs have become.
After creating the BBs, they must then undergo another process to be packaged.
The machinery that you see in this area is used for packaging the BBs. The BBs are in large 55-gallon drums. This forklift with an attachment takes the drum, empties it into that hopper. That hopper has a shaker mechanism which shakes the BBs back and forth over a sieve, what they call a go-no-go sieve. The BBs have to be able to pass through the holes in that sieve. If they don't, that means they have an edge to them or they have something that will prevent them from going through the hole. They've got to be perfect enough to go through the sieve. Once they've gone through that sorting process, then they go over to this loading hopper where they come down into two different mechanisms. The one on the left fills BB bottles and labels plastic bottles of BBs. The one on the right fills what we call the traditional BB tube, which is a cardboard tube about 4 inches long, holds about 350 BBs. That's still probably one of the most popular packages for BBs. You can buy BBs less expensively in larger quantities in big bottles, but everybody loves the little tube because it fits in their pocket and it's good for a day's outing.
Take pride, it's a Daisy, is the company's slogan. That pride was obvious as we happened upon two more employees at the end of our tour performing an extensive test.
So they're life testing guns back here. He'll put 10,000 shots on that. I think he's pumping it 7 times. Pumping it 10 times, that's the maximum amount. You can pump that particular gun 3 times and get about 350 feet per second velocity. You can pump it 10 times and get like 750, 780 feet per second velocity. So he's testing it, maximum velocity, maximum number of pumps, and he'll log 10,000 times doing that.
That's Joe Murfin, Vice President of Marketing, speaking earlier this week inside the Daisy Plant, just off 2nd Street in Rogers.